Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Mary, moderator conference. Welcome to the conference call of 2QFY12 results conference call of Agrotech Foods Limited. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At the time, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Shirish Pardeshi. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mary, and thanks for helping us organizing this call. On behalf of Anand Rathi, I welcome you all on this call. We are happy to have Mr. Sachin Gopal, who is President CEO for Agrotech Food, joined by Mr. Hemant Kumar Ruiya, CFO and Head of Legal. I also have Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from Anand Rathi on the call. I think without any further delay, I would hand over to Sachin for the opening remark. Sachin?
Okay, thanks Shirish, and good afternoon everybody, and thank you for taking out the time for this call today. We will take you through, as usual, the individual lines of the P&L to have a good understanding of quarter two and where we stand in the half year. From a top-line perspective, net sales of about 188 crores were marginally higher than prior year of about 181 crores. With higher pricing and volumes in the non-RUT business, more than offsetting the impact of the RUT divest. The 17% in net sales, which is excludes RUT, is though largely pricing. We did have moderate volume growth on the Sundrop edible oil business. In terms of a more detailed analysis on volume performance, in the key segments, this stacked up roughly as follows. As I mentioned just now, in the edible oil business, we saw moderate volume growth during the quarter in the Sundrop portfolio, and so in the premium edible oils business, which would be, say, oils currently priced well above 100 rupees per liter. Now, this growth was largely driven by Sundrop Heart, which, as all of you would have seen, is the product that we've been advertising for the first 6 months. We saw very good volume growth there, opposition of cholesterol reduction. And this helped to drive up the total gross margin for the oils business and as well for the total company. With gross margin percentage, as you know, we define it in terms of net less cost percent, 22.2 or so, or 23.5% in the two of this year. In the foods business, however, shipments failed last year, in the current quarter and for the first half, consumer sales are up somewhat by about 30% per year on a year-to-date basis. As we mentioned in our last call in the first quarter this year, about 3 months ago, we did a significant inventory reduction during quarter one, which ended on 30th June. In the second quarter, we would have pretty much shipped in line with offtake, higher than offtake, since building disproportionate visibility through higher retail stock was an integral part of our growth model, taking the brand from about 20 or 200 crores. The index basis, therefore, currently the shipments trail prior year. As we will now only focus on media investments with a lower focus on breadth of inventory, I believe it would be safe to assume that this trend is reasonably representative of the current up at growth, stating on a one-on-one basis to growth in since the year-to-date growth on popcorn is lower than our historical 50-odd percent rate of growth, we've been working for the last six to nine months probably on better understanding the opportunities which can enable us to return to this figure without base as a valid reason for the percentage, which we believe is appropriate given the still exceedingly low penetration degree. You will recall that we had mentioned in the last call that we have been testing ready-to-eat popcorn, or popcorn for, you know, on-the-go, if you will, in Delhi. And after about 4 months of testing, we feel confident the category has the clear potential to maintain and further enhance our growth rate, given the huge potential that exists in the out-of-consumption. For about 3 months, the product has already achieved about 40% of the sales in Delhi of our sachet popcorn, which is the pressure cooker version, besides enabling a relatively easy expansion in distribution due to a fairly high rate of sale or throughput per outlet. This is validated as well by data that we have from other countries, even though Conagra itself doesn't sell ready-to-eat popcorn, but to give you a perspective, in the US, ready-to-eat popcorn is now about 60% of the size of ready-to-cook, which is primarily microwave, and growing at about 2 to 3 times the rate of growth of ready-to-cook. And similarly in Mexico, which is the other big market outside of the U.S. where we operate, ready-to-eat popcorn is about a third of the ready-to-cook popcorn market. And the ready-to-cook popcorn market is, you know, already worth about $100 million. And that's reasonably largely driven by the fact that the ready-to-eat space itself is a very large space. In Mexico alone, probably it's in the region of about $3 billion, and in India probably today it's about $1 billion or so. Given the results, therefore, we are currently in the process of setting up additional capacity for ready-to-eat popcorn, and over the next quarter, which is the current one, which is quarter three, we will go national with the products. There are, however, a significant number of challenges which you need to take note of. We all need to take note of as we embark on this journey. And these represent really how different ready-to-eat is from ready-to-cook. To start with, because of a low shelf life of about 2 to 3 months, relative to instant popcorn, which is about 8 to 11 months, we certainly cannot use disproportionate visibility or big displays and depth of inventory to drive offtake, because otherwise we run the risk of a large amount of damages and return. And therefore, to an extent, we will have for the first year to work on almost a controlled sales model to ensure that we do not have expiry of stock. Another big difference clearly also is that freight is a much higher component in the value chain, and therefore the product will require more production centers. We already produce popcorn at 2 locations, but with RT this will increase to at least 4. So work is already underway on the Gujarat facility, where it will be co-located with the peanut butter plant, and also possibly a 4th one in eastern India. At this point in time, we've just identified land and therefore are working on the acquisition process now, which will take a couple of months. The benefits, of course, are several. RTE popcorn will enable us to far more easily open and sustain new points of distribution. You would recall that we had mentioned some calls ago that by the next fiscal, that is FY13, we should be crossing the 500,000 coverage goal for popcorn, and RTE certainly appears to be an excellent vehicle to achieve this milestone in the time frame that we had set for ourselves. In addition, since a large part of the production will be at our existing centers, it will help to absorb manufacturing overheads. And last but not the least, it will enable us to sustain our brand fine size investments behind ready to cook, despite the fact that gross margin in the near term will be lower than 30% on RTE, since we feel that as we gain scale in distribution, we will be able to gradually improve our gross margin and ensure therefore that the brand delivers the 30% minimum criteria that we have set for ourselves. So early days right now, but we'll keep you posted on the progress on this fairly important extension for us. I'll come to some other lines of the P&L now. We had talked earlier about the gross margin and the improvement there. Coming to the other lines of the P&L, there are 2 lines that we'd like to touch upon. The first is that A&P, where A&P spend for the quarter have continued to be at levels of about 4 to 5%. This largely reflects the lower gross margin that we earned in the quarter on Act 2 and the comparatively lower spends on Act 2. We continue to invest reasonably heavily on the oils business. The second line is that of other expenses, which reflects the additional people we had recruited on the roles of our subsidiary company, Sundrop Foods, with the specific task of increasing distribution, which has increased over the last 12 months by about 100,000 stores. As we roll out RTE popcorn, this will to a large extent fund the feet on the street. So the magnitude of this increase versus prior year will reduce, as we have a lower number of people on our subsidiary company payrolls, but are able to fund through the launch of RTE popcorn a much, much larger number of people on distributor payroll. The strong gross margin and controlled expenses basically flow down all the way through the P&L. So you can see there that both profit before tax and after tax have increased by something like 15 to 16%. So that pretty much sums up the review for the quarter. And in case you have any questions, we'll be happy to take them now.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. First question comes from Mr. Prakash Kapadia from iAlpha Enterprises.
Thanks for taking my question. Congrats to Sachin and the team for having a gross margin of over 30% after 6 quarters.
Hello. Hi, Prakash. Yeah, go on. Yeah, thanks.
Congrats to the entire team for having gross margin, which is, sale less raw material consumed at 30% after 6 quarters. Can we expect this 30% plus to continue now on a sequential basis? That was my first question. If you could throw some light on, the debtor and inventory increase which we've seen in the first half. So is it because of some sales mix or some new channel? And if you can throw some light, if any, you know, is there some disruption in operations or sales because of the Telangana issue? If you could highlight these three things, please.
Okay, thanks, Prakash. So that's just a clarification, which is that, you know, the gross margin, as we always define it, and I think we are consistent in it, is the net sales less cost of goods. And that, as I mentioned earlier, for this quarter was about 23.5%. So while we would like to get to 30%, we are not there right now. All right. I, to be frank, will not be able to give you a guidance in terms of, in what is going to be the margin next quarter or the quarter after that, because, you know, we don't issue guidance in that form. However, our long-term goals and medium-term goals are clearly articulated and visible to all. I'll now take up the other questions. I'll start with the last. Telangana, yes, there is some amount of challenges because of Telangana. I would say on an average we lose about 4 to 5 days of production. It could be less in some months, but you can assume as a range, that's a safe working range. But fortunately for us, we have capacities elsewhere in the country. So it has cost implications, because if you don't run a plant for a couple of days a month, you're still incurring the overhead expenses. It's more disturbance value. However, I must say over the last couple of weeks, it's looking better. So let's hope for the best, yeah. So nothing significant that you can say this is impacting our P&L at this point in time. The answer is no.
Right.
All right. And I covered the margin, I covered Telangana. There was one other point, Prakash, you had mentioned, I apologize.
That was, you know, the debtor and inventory increase, which we've seen.
Yes, yeah. So the increase in debtor is largely due to CSD, which, as you know, is our longest lead time in the recovery cycle, right? So there's nothing, there is no new customer or anything else which has been added in this period. No.
Okay. So we saw more sales in that channel.
Yeah, total outstanding has gone up, then certainly that channel has also done well. Yeah. Okay.
And you know, if you can share some plans on, you know, the ready to eat or the cooking oil spray, are we, you know, now build a sustainable plan, because we were testing, cooking oil spray as well as the ready to eat markets. If you can share some of, you know, the concrete plans, if any, or still we are exploring and we are still at the blueprint.
No, we have concrete plans. There is nothing sort of revolutionary there. Both products are doing well, I would say. Both have good sense of consumer acceptance. And both are, you know, certainly the spray is an exceedingly unique product. To pursue consumer acquisition opportunities for both of them. However, it will take time. There is no question about that, and we are very comfortable with that. Okay, so we'll keep you posted. In this quarter, you will see other activities behind these products, which will be visible to you, even on a mass media basis. So have a look at that, and then we'll update you every quarter on how it's going. But needless to add, today, right now, both are performing in line with what was our expectation.
Okay. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Prakash.
Thank you, sir. Dear participants, please press star and 1 for your questions. Next question from Mr. Tarun Surana from Sunidhi Securities.
I just wanted an update on the 10-minute meals are doing.
Oh, okay. Okay, Tarun. I thought that... I would say doing well. We are gradually gaining distribution of the product. We are very careful because... On many of these products, including convenience meal, for example, we may not be making much money on it. So we are basically servicing the market, trying to ensure that we are able to service demand, but without having any expired goods coming back, because those can hit the P&L. So every month we keep acquiring more points of distribution, more consumers, and we are very comfortable that we have a strong proposition. I would say on track, but nothing more than that.
And what would be the volume share during the quarter between you and Saffola?
If I remember correctly, the last retail audit reading that we got would be about 57-43 or some, approximately would be in that region.
57 for Saffola.
Yeah, approximately 57 for Saffola and 43 for us.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. I request the participants to press star and 1 for questions.
Aniruddha here, sir. Just two, three questions. Can you just update us about the launch of Sunrob oil spray? How it is doing and in how many cities it is rolled out? Secondly, on the launch of, again from the earlier question, the ready to cook format. So, have we done full rollout of that product, and are there any more SKUs available on that platform? And pretty thirdly, what is the performance of the peanut butter as well as the chocolate pudding?
Okay, so on the spray and the ready to eat, I'll try and articulate it better. Both products I would say are doing well. It's a gradual rollout because we want to build up distributions, I would say steadily. We can always go in and, distribute it in 20,000 stores, but then we may end up taking stock back from 10 of those 20,000 stores, and that we certainly don't want to do, right? So we are basically, feeding demand as it gets created. So as we get trial, we are able to generate trial, we are able to place the product, and we'll keep building the distribution in that manner. In both cases also, we will use cross-sampling with our existing products in our portfolio to increase the rate of trial by consumers, okay? As far as peanut butter is concerned, I would say doing exceedingly well. Over the last 3-4 months, we're still working on an import-based model, we continue to see a very, very robust performance. And because it's an import-based model, we don't invest any A&P on it at this point in time till we localize production. But despite that, the product is doing very well. You will increasingly see a good breadth of stock in most of the stores where it is distributed. And I would say we would be clearly the category leader today in that segment. So I guess we feel good about it, and it justifies the decision that we took some time ago to actually set up a plant for local manufacture.
Okay, and on the chocolate pudding?
The chocolate pudding remains in a very small scale. It's as I've said on earlier occasions as well. At this point in time, we will import and sell a limited amount of product. But because the business model for growth will require a huge capital investment, at this point in time, we don't feel that we are ready to make that scale of capital investment. So given that that is so, there will be no future new work going on in it, but we will continue to sell and service the consumers who are buying it.
Okay. And on the rupee depreciation, most of the edible oils are largely imported in India, and we are also importing the peanut butter as well as chocolate pudding. So do you see the rupee depreciation impact can hit us in third and fourth quarter?
I would say it's already there to a large extent. Otherwise the edible oil prices should have come down over this period, right? But because of the, weakening of the rupee, that didn't really happen to a material extent. So to an extent you can argue that that's already factored in the edible oil business. On the popcorn business, we still have inventory. But however, obviously all the new inventory that comes in will come in at a higher price in terms of the impact of the devaluation. So that is something that we'll factor in terms of the future prices.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Mr. Nitin Gosar from Religare AMC.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. There are a couple of questions. Trying to format in a set of questions that I can throw forward. One, I wanted to understand the strategy of feet on ground. That's a kind of unique strategy that you are deploying. Wanted to understand how one can judge the progress of the strategy. What's the kind of employee addition you have done? Y2D kind of different way to understand. And there are other questions which is related to import, like what kind of popcorn imports we have done for this current quarter when the one of the facility was not operating at full capacity because of the re-engineering. And third one was pertaining to which all the products do we manufacture in India as of now, and what's the strategy going forward, which all products can come into this scope of further manufacturing in India rather than getting it imported.
Okay. All right. So feet on the ground is a complex subject. Okay. Here is I would say, what is the best way of understanding whether additional feet on the street are giving the business or not? Obviously, as management, we have a view because, you know, we work the market and we see what is the incremental sale that we are getting per point of outlet. But from an analyst perspective, I would say the best measure of that is really what is happening to distribution as measured by Nielsen. Right? Because whether we like it or not, we can question Nielsen and we can debate till the cows come home. But the bottom line is that is the only independent validation of whatever distribution claims that are made by any internal system of a company. So to give you a perspective, Nielsen, as you know, revamped their panel some time ago, about 3-4 months ago. 3 months ago, they revamped their panel. And in fact, they dropped our active distribution from about 350,000 stores to about 300,000 stores. However, they also reworked the base, the earlier figures, the prior figures earlier. So we still continue to have an increase of about 100,000 stores, right? So I would say our success on the feet on the street should largely be measured by, is our distribution going as measured by AC Nielsen, right? There will always be some lag. We will have internal, Nielsen will pick it up after a month or two, but it's still a reasonably good base from a trending perspective. Alright, how you get distribution is a very complex subject. So I'm happy to come and, you know, spend some time, I'm happy to spend a one-on-one with you, but it is exceedingly complex. So a lot of people ask us the question, they say, you know, how did you increase from 100 to 300, because that's the figure now. And how are you going to take it to 500,000 and 1,000,000 stores? And, that's the name of the game in FMCG in India. And it's all about, you know, getting more people. They could be on your headcount, they could be with distributors, appointing new distributors to tap, you know, bring under area coverage areas which are not there at present. So that's an ongoing, I would say, task which is there for the management. Okay? But I would repeat, the best measure is AC Nielsen. Right? And, you know, accept it. Don't necessarily accept it for absolutes, but accept it for the trends that they give. The second point, as far as corn imports are concerned, we've actually imported no corn right now since we should have imported, I would say, a significant amount of corn as of now. However, there is a stay which has been, order which has been given by the Andhra Pradesh High Court on a DGFT notification which allowed the import of corn. So at this point in time, imports of corn for the current fiscal have not yet been allowed by the government. Because of this stay order, it is being addressed currently as we speak in Andhra Pradesh High Court. And as and when there is a resolution to the issue, then we will be allowed to import more corn. But until then, we can't import any more corn. Okay? And to your last question on manufacturing facilities, to have a sustainable business in the foods area, in any country, you need local manufacturing, right? An import-based model can take you so far, but beyond that, it has to be driven on local manufacturing. So our view has been that the moment we feel that there is sufficient traction and the capital investment is of a nature which is appropriate for where we are as a company today, we will go ahead and localize the product. In other words, there will be only two reasons why we will not localize the product. Right. The first will be where the business model, you know, the product has not yet gotten the scale, so we don't feel comfortable in putting up a capex for that amount. Right. And the second is where the business model could be worked on, but the risk associated with the capital investment, let's say it's in the region of $20 million, then we say, no, wait a minute, at this point in time, we have better opportunities to do with our cash in terms of lower risk, other capital expenditure options. Okay? So these would be primary. Otherwise, we would do local manufacture. So that is the reason why, for example, we are going in for local manufacture of peanut butter. Obviously, RTE foods had to be local manufacture because it's Indian foods, so there was no question about that. And as far as the others are concerned, you know, on pudding, as I mentioned earlier, we've kept it on hold because the capex value is too large. So at this point in time, it's better to say, let's keep it in abeyance right now. Okay?
Okay. Got your point. And so, if you can further help us understand what portion of corn is getting imported for you, like whatever corn you are selling in India, what portion of it is getting imported and what is getting manufactured here?
No, nothing in popcorn is imported. Only the corn is imported. Everything else is locally manufactured.
So,
100%.
All the corn that is getting sold in Act 2 is getting imported.
No, the raw material is imported, like edible oil is imported and refined. Similarly, corn is imported and then we do processing of that.
Okay.
So, there is, it's a 100% local processing of a raw material which is 100% imported.
Okay, and when you mentioned that, you know, there is a stay on DGFT verdict of corn import, does that really mean that going forward that, you know, we have a couple of months of inventory with regard to corn right now, and till the inventory sustain, we'll be able to sell it off. But once the inventory goes off, we won't be having enough material to sell off under brand Act 2.
Yeah, we go reasonably long on corn, so we are okay. I won't be able to give you the exact figures, but we go reasonably long on corn, unlike edible oils where we don't go long. Okay.
And sir, on the employee addition, like the feet on ground strategy, can you throw some numbers on the employees that you have on your own roles, that is under Sundrop and otherwise through distributors?
See, we would today have, in terms of feet on the street, people who are directly selling to retailers, we would have in the region of about, I would say about 1300 to 1400 people, okay? And we are in the process of converting some of these positions into supervisory positions, who in turn will recruit multiples of salesmen who will be employed by distributors, so that we can get a multiplier effect on that, okay? So, but from a ballpark perspective, you can use a figure of anywhere between 1200 and 1500 odd feet on the street, is what is our current position today.
And how has it changed over last 6 months from April to today?
From April to today? I would say from April to today, in terms of feet on the street, we would probably have seen a reduction of about 100 to 150 people, because we would have pruned the bottom end of the people who were on the performance ladder as we migrate to a system where these guys become supervisors and we put more people on distributor payroll.
And sir, further if you could allow me, I missed something on the opening remarks. If you had mentioned anything with regard to volumes on Act 2 and edible oil?
Mm-hmm.
Have you mentioned anything? I totally missed it because of the connectivity.
Okay. So what I said in the opening remarks was that we saw moderate volume growth on the Sundrop premium edible oil business. Okay. When I say moderate, I mean it's in the region probably of about 5-odd%. Okay. However, I would like to caution, and I would repeat this, I said this last time also, that I would like to caution that please don't use this as an extrapolation for the future. Because while we have seen this sort of moderate growth, we are still a reasonably premium priced oil, and we do see weaknesses in some channels and geographies. So I would treat it with a note of caution. The second caution I would give on extrapolation of this going forward is that in quarter three last year, you would recall, if you go through the call records, you'll see them there, that we were impacted very, very badly by gross margin, because we kind of lagged the edible oil pricing at that point in time. With one SKU of us particularly was at about 99 rupees at that point in time, but so were the other oils below that. So as a consequence of that, we did make some volume gains in that quarter, but obviously that wasn't enough for us to make the margin. So going forward for future quarters, I would urge you just to be cautious that this would be there as a prior year figure for comparison purposes. So even though I mentioned that we had a moderate volume growth on oils, I would urge you to treat it, I would say, as still reasonably flattish. I think the great thing that happened from a P&L perspective is that Sundrop Hard did exceedingly well. Very, very strong volume growth. I mean, exceedingly strong volume growth. And that has actually helped, and which is great for us because, it's a completely benefit-based proposition that consumers are buying into. So it has helped both the volume, but it has also helped the margin. And that is why we were able to get the 23.5 or whatever odd margin percentage we were able to deliver. Okay.
And could you mention some, would you like to mention something on the market share in Sundrop category?
Somebody asked the question, so I think it's the figure I remember for last quarter is about For premium edible oil, we will be about 43, and I think Saffola would be about 57. It will be approximately there, give or take half a point.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Participants are kindly requested to restrict with two questions initial round. Next question comes from Mr. Subramaniam, Sundaram Mutual Fund.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. My question is on the royalty agreement, if any, we have with ConAgra for some of the products that we are launching. Is there any royalty agreement that you would have to pay for the products that you would be launching in India?
Yeah, see, we pay a royalty to ConAgra, Mr. Subramaniam, on the brands that are owned by ConAgra.
Okay.
So, for example, if there is any product which is launched under the Sunro brand name, on that there is no royalty payable because the Sunro brand name is owned by Agrotech Foods Limited.
Okay.
Alright. However, Actu is a brand that is owned by ConAgra, which is granted to us by way of license. So we do pay a royalty on that, and that is consistent, you know, with the earlier guidelines which used to be, you know, which varied depending on whether you were using just the brand or you had manufactured technical import, etc., etc. The exact figures of the royalty paid are actually there in our annual report. So you will find them there. It's not a large sum of money, but the details are there. They are available. I forget which page, but it's there.
And are there any benchmarks, like do the royalty rates change with various levels of turnover?
No.
Okay.
No.
The other thing I wanted to know is, if you exclude the sales of Rath, what would have been the top line growth, sir?
That I think is what we mentioned in the ad, Mr. Sharma. I think it's about 17-odd%. Yeah.
And so okay. you also said that you're long on corn. Is that why your inventory to sales is actually much higher than what it was in the same quarter last year?
Yes, it always is higher in these first two quarters, and then, you know, sort of it depletes because we build up inventory. The answer is yes. I mean, we do go long on corn, and a significant proportion of we made a significant investment in the opening of this year on corn inventory.
Right. So basically, the working capital intensity in your oil business is slightly lower than what it is in your corn business. Is that a right assumption?
Very, very correct assumption. In fact, it is much lower. Because we buy all literally by the day and week.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Ms. Pooja Jaipal from Edelweiss Capital.
Yeah, this is Avnish here. Congrats, sir, on good set of numbers. My first question is on the market share, which you said 43% for you. I remember a few quarters back, it was around 48%, 47%. Is it a Nielsen error as usual, or anything more to that?
No, I remember, in the last call or the call before that, somebody had asked me this question, and I think I said it's in the region of about 55-45, okay? So, the answer is, and at some point in time, it would have been 52-48, okay? In fact, prior to the price increase, it would have been the reverse. We would have been higher, right, before 2009, so about 2.5-3 years ago. All right. So no, I would say Nielsen is reasonably accurate in terms of tracking of the numbers. I would not find a reason to disbelieve the data that is coming from them, right? And therefore, the answer is therefore that we probably lost some amount of share, and it's a small amount, but it is there. And the reason for that is that we do and do ensure that from a price perspective, we are not compromising in terms of our own margin goals. Okay, so right now, for example, we would probably be in the premium category. We would be higher in terms of price realization per ton than our competitor. However, they would have a higher share. So that's a choice that we are making, and I guess the competitors are making. And but that's something I'm sure you can always you will talk to them. But from very clear that to get a minimum margin out of the category, and that is something that we stay focused upon.
So regarding cooling oils, how big can that category be? You are building up that category, but from a very long-term perspective, say 2 to 4 years, what's the sense you are getting? How big can that be?
Let me try and benchmark with another category
which is focused on weight management, okay? And there I think they are selling probably in 3 years' time. Give me a moment.
Sure.
They are doing probably about 20 to 25 crores in about 3 years' time. Now, it's a category which is actually much smaller, but it's in the same area of weight management. So, I would say, I think it can be a big bet for us, a very big bet for us. It can be north of the 50 crore mark. However, it is going to take time, and it will be a function of how much resources we are willing to deploy behind it. So at this point in time, most of our energy and resources are going behind Sundrop Heart because we have a great proposition there. But I can see a time in the near future, in about 1 to 2 years, once we get a certain minimum critical mass on the spray, that we'll actually be able to, start investing media money behind it. And of course, when we do tie-ups, it will get that benefit as well. So bottom line, I would tell you, I mean, this, I think it's a big category and a very nice category with a high rate to win.
So my next question is on the ready to cook. Most food experts in India say that ready to cook will remain ready to eat will remain a very niche category because the Indian customers want to do their own cooking and all that. So do you also believe that it will remain a niche and largely a very metro centric? So is that the thought process you share?
I would say my thought process is that none of us can be sure of what it could be. Okay? Logically, it could be a very big category. However, yes, it is correct to say that at this point in time, the size of the category doesn't justify, a statement saying that it's very big, because it's not that big. So we've taken an early stake in the category. We're not investing any money behind it in advertising terms. We have a fixed amount that we spend in terms of cost and margin, and we are happy to take that position. So my honest answer to you, I don't know the answer to the question. However, I do know that if the category becomes big, we should be in a reasonably well-placed situation to take advantage of it. If it doesn't become big, since we wouldn't have invested much effort in it, in any case, it won't be an issue. So that's where my head would be.
So last question on pudding. Quarters back, you had said the challenge remains to launch a lower-priced SKU in that. Now you are saying mostly you will import and it will be a limited business segment as of now. So did we not succeed in finding a lower-priced SKU, finding good customer support? What's the reason?
No, I don't think I would have ever said that we would have a lower-priced SKU because, frankly, it doesn't exist. When I would have made a statement on lower-priced SKU, maybe that was the take what you took from the communication. So maybe I didn't do it very well. But I would have referred to peanut butter, that once we localize peanut butter, we will have a lower priced SKU. Not on pudding, no.
What's the price of the lower priced SKU, lowest priced SKU in the pudding?
It is 25 rupees. There's only one SKU, so 25
rupees. So do you think maybe, say, 10 rupees can make it more attractive to the customers? Is that going to work? Is 25
for sure, but that would never be achievable without localized production. And at this point in time, we don't feel the capex on this category is an investment that we would like to make right now.
Okay, sir. Thanks, and I'll come back again.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Participants are kindly requested to restrict with only 2 questions in the initial round. Next question comes from Mr. Kunal Bhatia from Dalal & Broacha.
So thanks for the opportunity. Sir, currently just wanted to know, so what is your current distribution reach and how have you moved, say, since last 2 years?
Okay, our current coverage will be in the region of about 350 to 400,000 stores. And that's validated by the fact that on Popcorn we have a distribution of about 300 odd thousand stores now as per AC Nielsen. In the last 2 years, 2 years ago, the distribution of Popcorn would have been about 120,000 stores as per Nielsen. So in 2 years, we would have moved from 120 to about 300,000 stores. That's the externally monitored data. From, I would say, from our internal coverage numbers, we would have probably moved from about 2 lakhs to 4 lakhs, something like that.
And sir, is that distribution being fully utilized even for your existing new products? I mean the peanut butter and the other products which you have already launched.
No, it won't. It is not, and it won't be till such time as we have a line of SKUs and a product penetration that can take full advantage of that. So, for example, peanut butter will be, you know, in a very small number of outlets, because that's the way the product is. Price is 150 rupees. So, you know, it's going to be having a far more narrower distribution than popcorn, where you have products available at 10 rupees and 5 rupees and even 2 rupees. So, the answer is no. And in many cases, it may not even be so. The maximum distribution of any premium edible oil is well under 100,000 stores. The figure used to be about 90,000 stores in the earlier Nielsen reading. Now they've brought down all edible oils to about 60,000 stores. So, and it's okay that, you know, this premium edible oils will be available in so many stores. They're not going to go to 300,000 stores. And that's fine. So, however, as we put in more food products like peanut butter, we localize it, we have smaller packs, those packs at 2 lakh, 3 lakh stores. The answer is yes to those.
Okay. And so sorry to be repetitive, there was some problem in the line. So you just initially you mentioned about your gross margins being less than 30%. So because if I look at your numbers, your gross margins are close to 30.2%, taking into account your net sales at 182 crores.
Yes, we always have this challenge. You see, when we say gross margin, we say net, we mean net sales, less cost of goods. Now, cost of goods for us is not only the first three lines in section 2 of the P&L, which is the change in stock, consumption of raw material and purchase of traded goods, right?
Mm-hmm.
But will also include some elements which will come from other expenditure and the, the depreciation that we would put on our manufacturing assets. So, the answer is, our gross margin as we measure it is 23.5%, okay? And that is up a point or 1.5 points relative to last year's same quarter, okay? If you measure it just on taking those three elements of cost line, you may well get 30%. But that from a management perspective, we believe is not the appropriate way for us to look at it, because at the end of the day, we have to bear all those other costs and we treat them in cost of goods.
Okay. So on a year-on-year basis, you are saying that has increased by 1.5%?
Yeah, something like that. 150 basis points, yeah.
Okay. And so just you could give us some sense on so what new product pipeline you're having it from the Conagra side going forward?
I won't be able to give you any perspective on future new products. As a matter of, you know, policy, we don't make those statements. But as and when we have something, we'll certainly come back to you with it.
Yes, or at least if you could just mention what segment are you looking to come out in for?
I would say, you know, I would request you not to push me on that, because we don't really give those forward-looking perspectives.
No problem, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Mr. Priranjan from Macquarie Corp Capital.
Hello.
Yep.
Yeah, most of my questions have been answered, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Mr. Kunal Shah from Amideep Investment Consultants.
Hello, sir. Sorry I joined the conference call late, so my question may be a bit repetitive. So one question that I have is, are we hedging the imports currently in terms of commodity and in terms of currency?
The answer to commodity is that we don't go long, as I mentioned earlier, on edible oils. However, we do go long on corn. Okay? And the reason for that is that, you know, edible oil is, at the end of the day, is a freely tradable commodity. And so we are comfortable going that route. However, corn is a more complex commodity, particularly because we import it all the way from Latin America. So the answer is... you know, yes and no, depending on which category you look at. And from a foreign exchange perspective, once we cover ourselves the moment the, you know, we have details in terms of the shipment and the pro forma invoice. Once that is done, then we cover ourselves up completely. But on that date. Okay?
Okay. And sir, one more thing. So what would you attribute the margin improvement to, I would say, the reasons for that?
Which improvement? Sorry, I didn't understand.
At the EBITDA level, there is some margin improvement, it seems, as a 1% point, something like that. So what would you attribute that to?
Well, if you go through the top, at the top level, there has been an overall improvement in gross margin, right? From about 22.2 to 23.5%, I think I mentioned the figures earlier. So there's about a 1.5 point improvement in gross margin. We've controlled our A&P expenses. If you go through the other lines of the P&L, which is salaries and employee cost, that has also not gone up significantly. Our other head of increase which is there is in other expenditure, which I mentioned earlier in the call, that we did see an increase in that, and that is due to the higher feet on the street, but that will change in the quarters going forward. That's about it, I would say, on the P&L, which leads to the margin improvement.
Okay. And so what is the split in revenue between Act 2 and the oil?
We don't give an exact segment breakdown. So, but over time, if you follow the calls, you'll have a reasonably good understanding of what it is. Huh?
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Mr. Saurabh Bhan from SBI Mutual Fund.
Hi, good afternoon, Sachin. Just three questions.
Sir.
First, on the plant shutdown of Act 2, you planning to shut the second plant also? Is that coming sometime soon? Secondly, on the smaller SKU for peanut butter, is that possible till the time you are importing it from ConAgra, or is it only possible once you have the plant running in India? And the third one is, any of the smaller players who had a Me Too product in corn, have they got impacted in terms of ban on imports of corn?
Okay, so let me take them one by one. In terms of the plant shutdown, Saurabh, which is the plant shutdown that is required for Kashipur, it will happen in the next 6 months or so. However, we think we should be able to do it in a manner which doesn't impact the production shutdown by more than a week or 2 weeks or something like that. And the reason for that is very important for us to have a plan for that, because given the situation right now on Telangana, things can be unpredictable when it comes to production out of Andhra Pradesh. Before we actually do the shutdown in Kashipur, we will have to be 100% sure that whatever is the period in which it closes, if at that point in time we have any disruption because of Telangana, which as I said is unpredictable, we should be able to manage it. So there should be no disruption in terms of supply to market. So I would say probably we are feeling better about it than we were 3 months ago, and that was the last call that we had, and we think we have some action plans in place to be able to minimize any negative impact of disruption. Our expectation is therefore that by the end of this fiscal we would have completed both the plants in terms of their upgrades. The second question which you had was regarding peanut butter, and the answer is yes. The smaller SKU or new flavors will only be possible once we localize. They are just not possible while we continue to import the product from ConAgra, because that's the smallest SKU that ConAgra sells. Okay? And sort of, forgive me, but I don't remember the third question. Could you repeat that?
The third one was, the other Me Too products that are there in corn.
We don't see too much of it, but that doesn't mean that there is no imported corn in India. I was in a retail store, I'm in Chennai today, and I was working in the market and I saw a retailer who had a big bag of Argentinian popcorn which he was selling to, the people, the hawkers who make popcorn on the road. So I would say there's still product available, maybe it's old inventory or whatever it might be. So I would say that is probably not a barrier. Probably the bigger barrier is ready to cook is a very difficult market to crack. So, I think that would be the bigger challenge rather than product supply of corn itself.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Sir, next question comes from Mr. Riken Gopani from Infina.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. Sir, would like to understand what is the share of all the new initiatives that you would have taken in the last 2 years of your overall revenue?
Yeah. We measure it, how, Rikin, we measure it is that we have set ourselves goals that our non-edible oil business, which is what we call our foods business, should grow over a period of time, and we put 3 milestones for that, which I keep repeating. So those of many of the others are familiar with it. So a couple of years ago, our non-edible oil business, our food business, was 2% of our business. We said that we would take it up to 15% first. Then from 15, we would grow to 25, and then from 25, we would grow to 50. Okay. At this point in time, we are in the region of about 15%. So we've done the first milestone of 15, but we are now working our way and figuring out how do we get to 25.
Okay.
Okay. And these are all initiatives, new initiatives, so they were not there earlier.
Okay. And if you could give just specifically on the initiatives like the pudding and the peanut butter and the spray that we would have launched, how significant would have they become put together? Would they have been 1 or 2% as of now or less than that as well?
Yeah. Easily there'll be 1 to 2% together, and they'll be in that ballpark. Obviously, peanut butter is the largest, right? The others are smaller. But yeah, the answer is they would already be in that ballpark. And that is why, say, with peanut butter, we are proceeding with localization, right?
What is the timeline for the localization to happen and you rolling out new SKUs?
Yeah, we had mentioned earlier that by the end of this fiscal, we will be in production in Gujarat. And we are on track to be able to start production in, I would say, the last quarter of this year. Now, whether that actually becomes initially for certification or commercial production, that is something, you know, which can shift a little bit, but nothing beyond that.
And this itself would, according to you, mean what kind of potential growth in that particular market, or you could share how the size of the market is or anything on that particular market?
The size of the market is basically what we are today, and there is a little bit of other peanut butter there. However, we always felt that this could be a large category. For us, when we define large, we have always said that a business must be at least 50 to 100 crores for us to be able to make the effort to invest capex behind it, to invest A&P resources behind it. And at this point in time, certainly the category seems to be reinforcing the original assumptions that we had, which is that it's a category which can get great traction. And it should be able to deliver turnover in that ballpark of 50 to 100 crores, right? How rapidly, obviously, will depend on how much resources we are willing to invest behind it. But yes, the answer is it has the potential, we believe. Okay.
Okay. So just last one thing. Have you seen any in the premium edible oil segment any specific slowdown coming through or any downtrading happening at all in the current scenario?
No, nothing very much. I mean, if you ask retailers, they will tell you that pretty much business is as normal. If you ask other people who are in the oil business as well, everybody will tell you that quarter two was a reasonable quarter. So I would say nothing specifically on the edible oil business. No, I haven't heard anything of that kind. Or neither have we felt it in our numbers. Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. I think maybe that's it. We are past 4 now.
Sir, there is one last question from Mr. Anand Moore from Ambit Capital.
Okay. All right.
Hi, sir. How are you doing? Just one question. I wanted to understand. We had talked about the volume acquisition strategy of Sunrub. Just wanted to understand how are we proceeding with it. Have we cracked it, or we are still in the process of that?
I would say still in the process, Anand. And that's why, I mentioned that even though we've had some moderate volume growth, I would not interpret it as saying that we are, going great guns from a sustained volume growth strategy at this point in time. In the process of, I think the most logical conclusion that we have come to now is that if we are able to successfully invest behind the top end of the premium segment, that will enable us to get good price realization per ton, enable us to invest behind the brand, and continue to grow our value share of the category. So that's where we are right now. In the process, I think it can probably result in some amount of volume growth, but that's not something that I would like to say, yes, it's a done deal and the strategy is closed on that.
Okay. But as if I understand, we are focusing more to upgrade the portfolio.
Yes, absolutely.
Within the
absolutely, and that's working for us very well, and that's reflected in the margins.
True. And just one more question, sir. It's the capacity upgrade on one of the plants of Act 2, is it done or it's still to flow through the Q3?
No, one is done, one is pending. So that will happen, I would say, between Q3 and Q4. We will just time it to the point, Anand, that we are 100% sure that there's no vulnerability. As I mentioned, because of Telangana, we need to be extra cautious.
So it means we should get back to the historical growth level in Act 2 as we move ahead.
I would say yes. I would add a comment on that, which is to get back to the historical growth rate, it is not the plant capacities that at this point in time are a hindrance to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is more the fact that because we were correcting inventory, we have also been spending less on the brand. That's evident on our A&P, right? And as we restructure a model which gives us some more profitable growth on Act 2 popcorn, you know, and that's the model that will take us from, you know, from 100 crores to a 500 crores of turnover. And when I say profitable, it will be profitable because distribution will be more profitable, because RTE will play a major role in terms of funding the distribution expansion, because it's much easier to get feet on the street. We'll get a relatively bigger bang for our buck, because the out-of-home consumption space seems to be clearly much bigger and much faster in terms of growth rate. So it will be these two that will drive the growth rate more than the capacities itself. Okay. At this point in time, we have the capacities. It's not that we don't have them, but it's more from our own investment choices, and the restructuring of some of those that will drive the growth and getting back to a 50 or 60% growth rate.
Okay. Great. All the best.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. There are no further questions. Now, I hand over the floor to Mr. Shirish Pardeshi for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks, Mary. On behalf of Anandati Financial Services, I thank you, all the participants, for attending this conference call for AgroTech Food. I thank Sachin and Hemant also to be present on the call. And now I hand over to Sachin for the closing remarks. Sachin?
Oh, okay. No, thanks, Shirish. Thanks for organizing the call, and Mary. And, just want to thank everybody for taking the time out to be with us, and look forward to talking to you after a couple of months. Cheers. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call. Thank you for your participation and for using Doosabaz conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant day.